This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Reporting for investors who want the whole story. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Welcome back here to kick off the second hour of the weekend edition. Happy to report that we are doing again the full 2 hours of financial and investing commentary. This segment we're going to focus on ratio analysis. I am joined by Kevin McManus. He is the founder of Van Orum. Kevin uses machine learning techniques to look back at what's gone on in the markets and also look forward and predict where the price is going to go for gold, GDX, and even silver. We will talk about these individual sectors, but first and foremost, Kevin, I want to, again, talk about this overall concept of ratio analysis. We need to understand that things do change in the general markets and in the general economies of the world that can throw some of these long-term ratios kind of out of whack when you look at a long-term trend. I think it's very important to look at where the trend is going when you compare a couple different markets. But first and foremost, you've done a lot of research on ratios. We will get into some specific ratios, but first and foremost, what's been your takeaway from the recent research regarding ratios, comparing different markets to, well, longer term trends?
Yeah, well, thanks, Corey. So ratio analysis is important because it allows you to kind of contextualize the prices of things relative to other things, you know, throughout history. It's not perfect, but I think it's better than analyzing the prices of things in fiat dollars, you know, whether it's the U.S. dollar or the Canadian dollar or euros, because those tend to erode in value over time and they can skew, you know, the perceived value of certain assets. But when you look at the price of, say, something like gold with respect to oil, you know, those are two very long-standing commodities. There's a really rich history of the relative values of those with respect to each other. So looking at different market regimes going back in history, you know, it can be interesting to see, you know, how the market was valuing one with respect to other. You know, you can compare that to how the market is valuing it with respect to the other today. Trying to make some comparisons and use that to form some investment decisions.
Now, when we're looking back on history and understanding that markets change, economies change, how do you balance that out with trying to predict or trying to understand if a certain aspect, certain market is undervalued compared to a different market?
Sure. You know, that's one of the most difficult things about building machine learning systems for the market is that, you know, the market is a constantly changing beast. You know, it's what's difficult for machines is also difficult for us. The market changed all the time. You need to keep that dynamic nature of the market in mind when you're looking at these ratios. So just a few of them we're going to talk about today. I've been reading a lot lately about, you know, the S&P 500 to commodities ratio, you know, as measured by the CRB index, which is at an all-time high now, at about 14 to 1. And that's going back to about the 70s. And there's a lot of people interpreting that as commodities being tremendously undervalued with respect to the S&P 500, which may or may not be true. But the one thing people need to consider when they're looking at this ratio is that the S&P 500 is different than it was 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago. You know, the top four components of the S&P 500 today are Apple, Amazon, Microsoft, and Facebook. And these are all companies that leverage software and software-based products, digital products, to generate more dollars per unit of input than companies that would have come in the past. They use commodities as an input, but the really big value-added component is software, which doesn't require a lot of commodities. So because of advances in technology, because of advances in business processes and business knowledge, companies today are able to generate, especially the top companies in the S&P 500, they are able to generate more dollars per unit of input than companies have been able to produce in the past. So that you would expect that the S&P 500 to commodities ratio, because of that, is going to be higher, which means that the market is valuing these companies per unit of commodity higher than they have in the past, which is fair, but it doesn't necessarily mean that that ratio is justified. There could be other things at play there.
Now, what you're saying here, and something that I agree with, is that we should be looking for better productivity, better uses, more advanced uses for maybe some of the resources that we've used for a long period of time. It's just interesting looking at the S&P 500 to the CRB. So I'm using the SPX to the CRB chart here. It really only started taking off in 2012, and that could also be a function of more money being injected into the system, landing on the actual financial stocks. But again, you would almost want, in a sense, the markets to be valued or be benefiting a bit more rather than commodities, because you are looking at some sort of synergies, some better productivity to come out of these companies. Is that kind of what you're looking at?
Yeah, absolutely. The productivity factor is one component, but you know, you made an excellent point. You know, the S&P 500 commodities ratio, you know, reached a peak in the dot-com bubble, you know, which is telling. I think a lot of that has to do with, you know, this big capital vortex going into the internet companies, you know, and outperforming and the market valuing those higher than they value commodities, which made sense for the time. But you pointed out that this ratio really started to take off again in 2011, 2012, which coincided with what? That was the Federal Reserve's open-ended QE3 program, which they explicitly declared that they were going to buy $40 billion a month of mortgage-backed securities. And those are financial assets. Those aren't commodities. So the Federal Reserve didn't come out and say that explicitly that they were going to buy oil or that they were going to buy commodities. If you'd seen that, you probably would have seen a different outperformance in this ratio. So since then, I mean, I think a lot of the ratio since 2012, because the Federal Reserve is such an elephant in the market, a lot of that ratio probably has to do with the type of assets that they were purchasing with, you know, their open-ended purchase program. There's two things at play, and it can be difficult to kind of differentiate between the two, but you don't want to look at the ratio in isolation and just say, oh, it's 14-1 right now. That means that the S&P is overvalued with respect to commodities. I mean, that might be true, but you need to factor in some historical context into the picture as well.
So, Kevin, where is the balance for you? Because, yes, this ratio, when you look at the S&P compared to the CRB, looks completely out of whack, especially because of that almost straight-up rise for about 6 years now. Not saying that it should go back to the historical average, because there are advancements being made, and especially the balance between what's going on in the conventional equities market and what's going on with fundamental resources. How do you go about trying to analyze this for investment purposes?
Well, I mean, you need to string together a whole bunch of other things as well. So, I mean, we know right now that, you know, the valuations, you know, at least from a P/E ratio of the S&P 500s, are at the higher range of their historical norms. We know that the S&P 500s, you know, has been attracting a lot of capital just purely from corporate share buybacks that have been facilitated by ultra low interest rates. You know, these companies have a fiduciary responsibility to use their balance sheet to add shareholder value. You know, and with interest rates ultra low, these companies can access the debt markets and use that to buy back their shares, which directly equates to enhancements in the equity valuations and benefit shareholders. So you can't blame them for doing that. They're just acting in the best interest for themselves and their shareholders, which is what you would expect. That type of capital flow has clearly detracted from a lot of the commodity-based companies, a lot of the commodities themselves, and you can see that relative outperformance. So when I look at these things, the share buybacks and the ultra-low interest rate environment aren't going to persist indefinitely into the future.
And I think that's a lot what we are waiting for. Again, these ratios do a great job of showing where money is flowing, and that's why I think it's important to take note of turns and general trends that we're seeing. In the next segment, we're going to get a bit more into some specific ratios, including the S&P to gold to a number of different sectors. So everyone stick around. Kevin and I are going to be right back.
¶¶ you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free Reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery, and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Hear that? That's the sound of a house being trashed while a gang of thieves ransack the place. And what they don't steal will be destroyed.
This year, resolve not to be the next victim of a break-in. Go to faketv.com and discover a device that creates the illusion someone inside is watching TV, even when you're miles away. Security is a mindset, and Fake TV should be part of your security solution. Be vigilant, but not fearful. faketv.com.
Hello, my name is Marjorie Wildcraft. I'm the founder of the Grow Network, which is an online community of people who produce their own food and medicine. We are really into backyard self-reliance. If you want this lifestyle, I suggest your first step be to learn some basic home medicine. Just the other day, my 18-year-old son came to me and said, "Mama, I got a sore throat. Can you fix me up?" And I said, "Sure, Ryan," and in about 24 hours, he was better. The best home medicine for you to start out with is garlic. It's an amazing natural antibiotic, and I can show you how to use garlic to handle ear infections, sore throats, colds, and flus. As a way for you to get to know a little bit more about me and the Grow Network, I've written up an easy introduction on how to use garlic. It's at gcnwellness.com. Now, the station manager told me that I needed to say the URL at least twice, even though it feels kind of weird. But if you're interested in backyard self-reliance, you are one of us. Go to www.gcnwellness.com and let's connect up.
Fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center-cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready-to-eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and served. Life-saving, ready-to-eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. Continuing on with my discussion with Kevin McManus. Last segment, we talked about the value and some of the benefits of looking at ratios and understanding also that markets change. In this segment, we're going to actually look at some ratios. Kevin, you and I chatted about the S&P to commodities ratio, how that is at an all-time high. One thing that I find interesting is that on the flip side of this, the S&P to gold ratio, that's nowhere near its all-time high. It's actually just bouncing off off the lower range again at the same time when the S&P to commodities ratio took off in 2011-2012. That's when we saw a bottom put into the S&P gold ratio. But what does this tell you, this discrepancy between where the S&P commodities ratio is and where the S&P gold ratio is?
Well, the S&P gold ratio is one that's really striking to me. It's one that not a lot of people pay attention to. So in the dot-com bubble in late 90s, early 2000s, this ratio reached a high of about 5.5. So that's the S&P 500 divided by the price of 1 ounce of gold. Now it's at about 2, despite the S&P 500 at all-time highs, you know, and gold just coming out of a bear market low. So, you know, despite gold being in a bear market, you know, one of the worst bear markets that it's had in history, and also the S&P 500 being in one of the greatest bull markets of its history, this ratio is still nowhere near the highs of the S&P 500. And that to me is really a striking dislocation. But again, you need to look into these things. You can't really take them at face value. So, you know, we saw the S&P, the commodities ratio at all time highs, but the S&P gold ratio floundering near its low. So what does that say about how the market is valuing these things? Well, gold is a much rarer asset. The deposits for gold are extremely rare, and there's, you know, a scheduled production shortfall starting in 2020 of all the major gold miners. And, you know, also the production of commodities also benefits from enhancements in technology. There's economies of scale there. A lot of the other commodities that make up the CRB index are much more abundant than gold. And advancements in technology have allowed us to exploit those deposits much more efficiently and effectively than we have in the past. But gold doesn't always benefit so much from advancements in technology because the deposits are rare. A lot of the deposits we're accessing right now are at, you know, deeper parts of the earth that are harder to get to that we can only access because of technology. It doesn't necessarily mean we can get more of it. So that explains in itself some of the relative outperformance of gold, the commodities, and S&P underperformance to gold. But there's still this nagging question of, like, why is the S&P 500, you know, at this magnificent bull market it's had, yet still really undervalued to gold, you know, compared to where it's been in the past? That's really interesting to me.
Yeah, I find the comparison between these two charts very interesting because you would think with some of the more uses that were coming out with some of the commodities, again, the CRB isn't exactly a balanced commodities index, so that could be some of the dislocation. Again, talking about maybe some new metals that have come on whose price have gone up, they don't account for a lot of the CRB or really any of the CRB in some instances. There is one ratio, too, that I find very interesting. That's the gold-platinum ratio. Typically, you know, we would see platinum be worth more than gold. That all started to change when, first of all, gold became temporarily more valuable than platinum in 2011-2012. It pulled back, and now we are actually, again, at probably highs for this ratio. I'm on a 20-year chart. We're seeing gold, again, be valued much greater than platinum. Maybe this has something to do with the move towards electric vehicles, because platinum is used a lot in catalytic converters. But you look at gold's side, and it's still really just a store of value. So there is a bit of a disconnect here in my eyes, but again, it's just a ratio. What do you think about this gold-platinum ratio?
Yeah, the gold-platinum ratio is at extremes. I think you nailed a big part of it there. I mean, the primary industrial use case of platinum is in catalytic converters for combustion engines. I don't know that the shortfall in combustion engines or the switch to electric vehicles, I don't know if that explains a lot of this ratio. I think a lot of the damage being done here is likely because of the commodities bear market we've been in. But platinum itself, I mean, it's another one of those precious metals that has a lot of the same amazing properties that gold does. And it's just as rare, if not more industrial use cases than gold does. So to me, it's a dislocation to see it up this high. And I would think that this is an opportunity, the platinum gold ratio at these levels.
Do you think that playing into this, how gold almost seems overvalued compared to a lot of the commodities, especially on a broad instance, do you think it speaks to maybe the potential that a lot of the gold that was easily mined has already been easily mined, and that's why we're seeing smaller and lower grade deposits around the world?
For sure, and that feeds into another ratio, which is which is the ratio of the gold mining stocks, the gold mining sector to gold itself, which is languishing at all-time lows. It broke out of that downtrend, you know, in 2016, and it's been consolidating for about 18 months since. And I expect that ratio to move higher, if only because I think the market is undervaluing gold right now, and I think the deposits that where we actually know gold exists, I think those are undervalued as well. And as the price of gold moves up, you know, there's going to be a relative adjustment of those deposits and the people that are mining it. Also, that sector has tremendous free cash flow right now. The fourth quarter results that came out for GDX, which is the biggest gold mining component. I mean, these across the industry, this sector is making really, really healthy margins. You know, they have all-in sustaining costs right now, reported last quarter of just a shade under $900 an ounce. So with gold up near $1,300, I mean, as a sector, as an ETF, I mean, it's spinning off basically over $400 margins. You know, the market is a discounting machine, and it's always discounting future cash flows. So I have a feeling that that ratio is so low because people are looking at the deposits, they're looking at the scheduled production shortfall, and they're saying, yes, you know, they're making really healthy margins, but, you know, these healthy margins might only persist for, you know, 5 or 6 years. So I think that's why you're seeing an undervaluation in the gold miners right now. But I think that undervaluation is really, really, really going to change if gold breaks out of this downtrend that it's in, which I fully expect it to do. These deposits where we know gold exists, you know, that's going to become extremely valuable land.
Yeah, I really think this just goes to show that commodities in general have been very unloved in this recent market over the past 10 years now. Gold has actually performed okay compared to the rest of the commodity sector. There is going to have to be a change here. You are right. It's that adage of buy low, sell high. Buy the hated sectors, and the hated sectors right now still continue to be commodities, but it does seem like we're getting a little bit of a turn. I hope everybody enjoyed our conversation on the different ratios. Please feel free to email me if you have any other ratios that you think deserve some attention. Kevin and I could only get to so many, but I know this is a topic that is on many people's minds. Kevin, it's great chatting with you. I highly recommend everyone checking out Kevin's website at Van Orum. And other than that, Kevin, thank you for sharing some of your research, and have a great rest of your weekend.
Find out more about today's guests. Visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com. And be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
If you owe money to the IRS, you need to hear this. The IRS is cracking down on those who owe back taxes. It starts with a devastating letter. And if you don't act immediately, you could find yourself having your wages garnished or have a lien placed on your property. But there's a solution. Tax 10,000 can help. Avoid enforced compliance, where these holds on your income and seizure of your home could become a nightmare that just won't end. Call 800-239-9957 now and speak to one of our experts. 800-239-9957 is the number to link you directly to a tax resolution specialist who will negotiate with the IRS on your behalf. Working through the IRS Fresh Start program, all the forms will be handled for you. All you have to do is make the toll-free call. 800-239-9957. Find out if you qualify and possibly save yourself thousands of dollars, not to mention a lot of headaches. It could be the best call you've made today. That number again, 800-239-9957. The service does not provide tax settlement or legal services. We will refer you to a company that does provide such services. Often the IRS will not agree to any reduction in the amount owed. Not all taxpayers who owe more than $10,000 will qualify for a tax reduction program.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria from totally neutralized the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. Continuing to listen to the second hour of the Weekend Edition. In this segment, we are getting a company update. This company I am a shareholder of. They are a sponsor on the website. The company is Awale Resources. I am chatting with Glenn Parsons, the president and CEO. Awale is traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol ARIC. And just another recap of where this company came from. It is the exploration properties out of Mariana Resources after Mariana was acquired by Sandstorm. These properties are located in the Ivory Coast. And Glenn, what I'm following up on is some news that came out March 1st talking about the final drill results, assay results from the exploration you've been doing on the Bonduku property, more specifically the Faco area and the Casino area. Both of these have a bit different mineralization, but first and foremost, some of the headline numbers at Faco: 18 meters at 1 gram a ton, and at Casino we have 6 meters at about 5.2 grams, also 2 meters at 6.1 grams. Compare for us here, Glenn, the difference between Faco and Casino. Faco seems like it's a bit lower grade but wider widths. Casino, that seems to be the higher grade.
Yes, thanks, Corey. I mean, if you just deal with Casino, what we're seeing in Casino is sort of high-grade quartz veins that the artisanals effectively uncovered, within a six-month period, they were down to about 25 meters. So very high grade. Some of the rock chips that we actually took came up to 589 grams per ton gold. So certainly warranted drilling on that high grade. These results that we've got from Casino, the nice thing is that we have hit some of the smaller veins. They are narrow veins, and you'd expect these to be narrow veins, high grade. But one thing to note, we certainly, from what we're seeing in the drill holes, we haven't hit the same structure that the artisanals were actually working. So we think it's probably a much steeper body that's actually plunging. So we have a bit of follow-up work to do and to see if we can actually find the source of that that high-grade vein. But the nice thing is that we are seeing the grades, you know, certainly that they were chasing, you know, the 6 meters at 5.2 grams, which included that 1 meter at 25 grams. You know, that's pretty encouraging from our side. And really from a company perspective, we'd be looking for multiple veins, multi-sheeted veins of this sort of, in this sort of order. So that's something that we'll be looking at going forward into late March, where we plan to start drilling again. So coming to FARCO, just the difference in FARCO. So FARCO is along a 38-kilometer shear zone. The shear zone more typical of the, you know, the West African greenstone belts. A nice structure that we can see from the Aeromag. Very much underexplored. FARCO at the moment is effectively was drilled on the basis of a 6 kilometer soil anomaly, auger soil anomaly, geochem anomaly, which really highlighted a nice gold anomalous area. And the good thing that we've seen in FARCO is that the first set of results that we brought out in February, early February, sort of highlighted mineralization, which obviously gave us a lot of confidence. And then these results that have come out now, so effectively about 600 meters to the north, coming up with similar alteration, similar results in terms of mineralization. So what we're quite encouraged about is that we are on that shear zone. We certainly have a large alteration system. We're obviously looking for, you know, longer intercepts of higher grade if we can. So we are looking at sort of more dilations in the structure, which will probably cause greater grades to be coming from it. But the key thing for us is that we're finding over a large area within what we've explored to date, this mineralization continues. So quite encouraged that we can carry on, and the plan is to carry on, really searching for more economic intercepts of gold.
So, Glenn, I think what's important for everyone to understand is that these are very much virgin territories. Not much exploration has been done. And this initial drill program of 57 holes, they were not deep holes. They were all very near surface. Just to give an understanding, get you guys with a feeling of what's going on beneath the surface. And it sounds like you're hitting a lot of what you expected to hit. Can you compare what we saw from the drill results that were released February 2nd to these drill results on March 1st, the synergies maybe that you were seeing and the follow-up work that you think you're going to have to undertake here?
Sure. And I think you hit the nail on the head. I mean, these properties in Bonduku, I mean, they have been unexplored and undrilled, you know, so we are the first guys actually drilling these properties. Yes, we've had artisanal workings over multiple prospects, which is obviously quite encouraging from our side. So, for us, these results are the first holes, and we've effectively had encouraging results from all our holes and mineralization coming from all of them. So that is pretty encouraging. From the news release earlier in Feb, you know, we talk about a large Fuchsite sericite alteration system, and that was 600 meters to the south of, or the southeast of the drill results from today, and we've seen that same alteration and mineralization style to the north. So we know there's certainly some tying up. If you actually look at our cross sections in the figures, you talk about shallow holes. These were shallow holes. You know, we're talking probably on average about 60, 70 meters deep. And if you look at the actual cross sections, you can see we were hitting mineralization close to surface, and the drill holes, quite widely spaced drill holes, actually probably stopping short of hitting the same structure further down. So it certainly does remain open at depth in terms of that mineralization. So that's quite encouraging as well. And then obviously a long strike. In terms of the program going forward, as I mentioned, so there's a couple of things. As we said, this is early stage, so we are actually looking at building up multiple targets, multiple prospects. So we've actually have embarked right now on greater soil geochem grids in terms of trying to bring up some of our other prospects to drill-ready status. And then we will also be starting along the Awari Shear. So as I say, we've only really done some auger work on about 12 kilometers of it. There's 38 kilometers to actually uncover. It goes more undercover, so the auger will be the way to go. And that's we're embarking on now to further to the north. So we'll be following up that whole shear zone, looking for anomalous targets. And then following from that, we actually aim to complete another 2,000 to 2,500 meters of drilling. All the drilling to date has been RC drilling, so we're seeing, you know, rock chips come out from the drill, from the drilling. It's a lot more difficult to understand the geology and geometry of the system. So the idea is with this 2,500 meters to actually do a few diamond drill holes to actually better understand what's happening underground.
Okay, so you are going to follow up with some more drilling. I know talking to you, you said that you should be mobilizing drills here shortly, so we can look forward to that news. Something that you've been saying there, Glenn, you mentioned it a couple times, and that is this 38-kilometer shear zone. Does that mean that we could potentially see mineralization across that full 38 kilometers, or just how big could this be?
Well, I mean, if you look at the work that we've done to date in terms of the auger and the drilling, I mean, we are seeing on that shear zone mineralization pretty much along the whole, you know, sort of tying up along that whole shear zone. So, yes, we haven't done anything to the north, so probably around 19-odd kilometers. We haven't done any work because it does go under slightly deeper cover, 2 to 3 meters of cover. That is going to be our focus going forward to actually see, does this mineralization actually continue all the way up there? And then from there, you know, if you look at the FARCO against that trend, it is just a small little needle in the haystack at the end of the day. So, you know, there is lots of work to do to find those greater potential dilation zones, which will probably deliver higher grade for us. And, you know, we believe the ability to find some form of economic deposit on that shear zone certainly is pretty strong.
All right. Well, Glenn, this is a company that we are going to continue to follow along with. Again, a couple points that I really like about the company is that you do have a couple projects, not just this Bonduku, but you are continuing to grow those initial 12 targets that we discussed in the intro interview a number of months ago. Plus, you have a very tight share structure. So, Glenn, thanks for your time this week, and have a great time at PDAC.
Thanks, Corey. Thanks a lot.
Listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Every industry faces distinguishing challenges and circumstances that shape the business and financial landscape. Camusso CPA LLC delivers unrivaled depth of knowledge and an engaging experience relevant to each client's industry-specific needs. Camusso offers preemptive guidance and knowledge required to achieve your greatest business and personal financial potential. Our approach is based on forging long-term business relationships accompanied by trust and value, creating an ever-important partnership. Build your dedicated financial team with us today. Visit CamussoCPA.com. That's CamussoCPA.com.
Here's a special message for those of you who owe the IRS at least $10,000 or more in back taxes. The IRS has special programs in place that could eliminate or reduce your tax debt by thousands of dollars. Call the Federal Tax Management Helpline that has been set up for you, 800-503-8625. Stop the wage garnishments, levies, and tax liens now. Once you've qualified and enrolled, the IRS will stop all the collection activities against you. These unique programs have been allocated to help the economy and significantly reduce or eliminate your tax burden. The IRS is currently accepting reduced settlements and other favorable programs. You may qualify for substantial savings, so get the help you need. If you owe more than $10,000 in taxes, call for free information and to see if you qualify. Take down the number now for the Federal Tax Management Hotline, 800-503-8625. That's 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNloans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNloans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNloans.com. That's GCNloans.com.
Message and data rates may apply.
Remembering when to change your fridge filter is a hassle. Remembering the right filter is almost impossible. So at Filters Fast, we have some good advice. Forget it. Instead, remember this. Text BEST 33 to 443-443 and check fridge filters off your to-do list forever. Get it all taken care of for a fraction of big box store prices with a Filters Fast brand filter. To see how much you can save, plus get free shipping, text BEST 33 to 443-443. With a huge range of brand name filters available, Filters Fast is America's number one online filtration company. And you can get a Filters Fast brand filter for a fraction of the price, delivered to your door every time you need it. No need to remember. It's not a matter of if you need a fridge filter. Why not text to get it taken care of? To see how much you can save and get free shipping, text BEST 33 to 443-443. That's BEST 33 to 443-443.
Ted Anderson telling you about Jordan Rubin's Beyond Organic Green-Fed Raw Cheddar Artesian Cheese featuring whole milk created through ancient dairy breeding. Unpasteurized, untreated whole milk on the same farm the cows graze. Containing natural sources of omega-3s, CLA protein, calcium, probiotics, and enzymes. I have never tasted cheese this good, and you need to try it. Contact your Youngevity distributor or call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com.
Would it be okay if you had two paychecks instead of one? I'm Pharmacist Keith. Dr. Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, and myself want to show you how to get an extra paycheck every month, creating an extra income that will last for years to come by joining Dr. Wallach's crusade, spreading his message of better health. To learn more, visit radio.recordedvideo.com. That's radio.recordedvideo.com, radio.recordedvideo.com, or call 866-257-3105 for a recorded message.
Welcome back. Continuing to listen to the second hour of the KE Report. In this segment, I am chatting with George Jarrow. He is the managing director at RBC Wealth Management. I get a daily email from George focused on the gold sector, talking about open interest levels, talking about different ratios, which kind of touches on the segments I just did to kick off the second hour. But first and foremost, George, I want to talk about the price action in gold this week. To start off the week, gold was looking very weak. It was heading down and actually started to pick up some steam, but just before 1300, we saw a turn, and at the end of the week, gold actually performed quite well. There are a lot of other factors, outside factors, you could say, that affected this trade, especially the tariffs that were introduced by Trump at the tail end of the week. Let's get your comment. First of all, strictly on the price action and gold's ability to turn above 1300 and start heading back up.
Well, I believe that gold has been trading with a bottoming range for the past couple of years and has been out of favor because the stock market has had this booming action on the upside ever since October, November of a year of last year. And now, with the possibility of more volatility and some setbacks, we're starting to see the difference between people concerned and not concerned about inflation and the possibility that maybe trade wars are coming after hearing the president having a reaction, having a global reaction to the tariffs that he proposed, which are all negatives. The IMF just had a negative reaction to it, and many political pundits have a negative reaction to it, even those who support the president. And Canada is now bracing for the tariffs because while the president was concentrating on China, the main exporter of steel to the U.S. is Canada. They're the top supplier of steel and aluminum to the U.S. Now, why is that important? Steel is important for the automobile industry, and all our soda cans, beer cans, is aluminum, and aluminum is used in the automobile industry as well. So So that could increase prices. Now, increasing prices to these things doesn't sound like much, but it's the automobile industry, the housing industry, the soda can and beer can industry, the building industry, and on top of everything else, we're going to need more metals for the infrastructure rebuilding. $1.5 trillion being mentioned, and on top of everything else, you have Texas, Florida, you have Puerto Rico, you have California, and now you have the Midwest with the floods. So you're going to have a tremendous amount of need for the metals. What does all this mean? It also means inflation is coming, and if we do have trade wars, it becomes inflationary because our trade balances are going to be out of kilter.
Well, you could argue that the trade balances already are out of kilter with the recent data that showed...
Only if you go to a supermarket will you see inflation.
That is a good point. But hey, as you even mentioned, with these tariffs that to me seem kind of short-sighted because a lot of the conversation you hear is around China when, quite frankly, China is no more than a rounding error when it comes to these type of imports into the country. You're right. It is
about 5%.
Exactly. And it's going to impact Canada and Mexico more because those are about 25% of these imports. All of this does kind of point to inflation. As you said, you can go to the grocery store, you can see prices continuing to go up. I even argue you look at some technology, you look at cell phones, those continue to move up in price. This inflation is starting to creep more and more into the data too. Do you think that it will be a steady and consistent build in inflation, or do you think that there's a point where inflation really starts to take off and that truly impacts what the central banks are doing and the way generalist investors look at the markets?
I think it'll happen both ways. I think it's going to be creeping inflation, and I think some of the problems that we're experiencing will come with the hikes in interest rates, which are temporary headwinds for gold, but in the long run, it means tremendous amount of additional debt service that has to be paid out, and it means that the government will start to print money, in my opinion. All of that in the long run, and it won't be in the short run, all of that in the long run means that there will be demand for the gold.
Now, don't you find it interesting in terms of debt and the government having to print more money that we're seeing, one could argue, an explosion or at least a doubling of what the central bank, what the government's going to have to issue in terms of treasuries this year?
Well, that's, I think, is going to be a wait and see by the traders, because there's something else. China is a huge holder of U.S. treasuries, and of course, the trade tariffs, if they signal trade wars, could result in not seeing new purchases from some of these countries, which I doubt will happen, but it's a possibility. And the markets seem to be a little bit ahead of the Fed. The Fed wants to hike. Powell did mention at least 4 hikes now. And the hikes are going to be, in the long run, a signal of inflation to traders as well.
All right. Now, George, there was a comment that you made on your Friday note to everybody, and it simply said gold is seeing long-awaited bargain hunters. You point to the open interest, recent lows, and a rush to cash and margin calls in other assets that drove out traders. Do you think this is a continued trend? Are we finally going to see these more generalist traders and investors start to enter this sector?
Yes, I think the volatility that we're experiencing in the stock market is going to be noticed by more investors as time goes by, and it's up to the individual investor to ask if his fund has gold or does not have gold, and that will translate into the asset allocators probably buying more gold, although even recently the large gold ETFs have shown an inflow of funds with gold buyers, and that's very recent.
Now, George, can I get your comment on the relationship between gold and silver? You look at the gold chart, I see much more productive chart, higher lows being put in. Yes, we haven't broken out, but to me, it very much looks like it's on this longer-term uptrend. Silver, much more muddled of a picture, but you actually go down to the COT reports, and we're seeing a huge unwind of the net short position from commercials. This all could be positive for silver, but the chart sure isn't telling us that.
No, it isn't, and I think what happened is that silver is bogged down by the fact that it's a double-edged sword because it's more industrial than gold. And so it's an industrial metal that could be not noticed. It also could be that silver is not in as much demand because it isn't bullion when and if these things like a trade tariff takes place. On the other hand, in the long run, silver has always been more volatile and has been a very good friend to the precious metals investor.
All right, George. Interesting comments, as always. I always enjoy having you on the show. And maybe as a final wrap-up comment, what is your target for gold for the end of this year, 2018?
I'm looking at 1,400 for this year. I think that's a reachable and doable number in view of everything that's going on. And looking at the expanse, looking at the political pictures from global improvements, I think we're going to see that number.
All right, there you have it from George Jarrow. It's great having you on the show, George, and I hope everybody enjoyed this weekend edition, a full 2 hours of economic and investing news and comments from a wide range of our guests. Everybody who is at PDAC, I hope you have a great conference. I'm looking forward to some of the feedback, and hey, hopefully George's target for the end of this year for gold comes to fruition. Have a great rest of your weekend, George, and everybody along with you, have a great weekend.
And thank you for having me.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.
Does the current world crisis in North Korea or our domestic crisis right here in America concern you? Well, I know it concerns me. My friends over at Legacy Food Storage have solutions in the event there's the inevitable. What's the inevitable? Civil unrest, a run on your local grocery store. And here's my question to you. If this happens, how do you feed your children? How do you feed your grandchildren? Legacy Food Storage has the solutions. In fact, they can help you implement a simple plan to take care of your needs in the event of the inevitable. By calling them right now, I have authorized them to give you a special 20% discount at checkout by simply using GCN. Call 888-543-7345 or visit them at legacyfoodstorage.com. That's 888-543-7345 or visiting them at legacyfoodstorage.com. Make sure you use GCN at checkout for an incredible 20% discount. Don't be a victim. Take control of your life now.
The answer to being in control of your own healthcare is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Kiss your credit card debt goodbye. I'm Pharmacist Keith. Dr. Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, and myself want to show you how to achieve financial peace, creating an extra income that will last for years to come by joining Dr. Wallach's crusade, spreading his message of better health. To learn more, visit radio.recordedvideo.com. That's radio.recordedvideo.com, radio.recordedvideo.com, or call 866-257-3105 for a recorded message.